Just so you know, I'm not used to being wired, so
yeah,
that's really, I'm not used to people having evidence. That's what it is. So I usually disallow, and I'm not, now listen, I'm gonna say a couple things. I usually disallow any video recordings. You never want to see it on the news somewhere, you know. And if you think I'm joking, I'm really not. But I want you guys to know something. Do you guys see my stylish glasses? I knew you guys were seeing it, and I really moved up to another level, I think. Actually, what happened is...
You're worried now.
I know. You should be. Actually, you know what happened is in my home, I'm a lot like your house, okay? Mm-hmm. I want you guys to know I'm not where you are. So my wife, last night she borrowed my glasses. Can you believe that? Anyway, she borrowed my glasses for a second. And then she gave them back to me, she said, by throwing them on the bed. So, if you don't know it or not, I can't see without glasses. I couldn't see to find my glasses. And she said, here, take mine. So these are hers. So... Yep, I'm a happy man. Listen, I thought some people can have ponytails, some people can have, you know, the Hawaiian shirts. I'm just going to have these glasses. It'll be all right with me. And you guys are going to look at me and laugh, and I'm okay. Okay, well, I want to look up some verses, okay? I want you guys to have some verses in mind. I want you to be thinking about some things. I've been praying for you already. I've been praying for you. You know, your faces... Your names have come before me this week, and I've been praying for you. And one thing I always pray for any of my classes is, I pray for them because they have me as their teacher. And I ask God to help them. And if you're going to get something, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're going to get something this morning, it's only going to come from God. It's only going to come from God. It's not going to come from me, but it's going to come from God. So I want you guys to get ready for some verses, but I want you to be thinking about expectations. All of us, I think, in this room, we have expectations, right? So, I mean, on us, don't we? Is there any expectations on you?
Absolutely.
Do you have expectations on you? Is there expectations on you? Yes. Listen, we have expectations on us, don't we? All of us have expectations. And they come from different people, but we're going to talk about maybe the greatest one. I did want you to know that in studying this and getting ready for it, I get so much for one lesson. God, I'm telling you, it gets like buckets on me. Mm-hmm. Buckets and buckets. And, oh, I want to tell them this, and I want to tell them this, and I want to tell them this. And then I got to condense it down and get it where you can kind of chew it up. And that's really hard for me. I'm like a shotgun kind of guy. You know, I'm going to get a whole lot in one shot. Instead of really being lasered. So you got to pray for me. Please pray for me that you get it from God the way we need it. Some verses I want you to look up, please, are 1 John 4:9. Somebody can grab that. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:5. I want you to think about some of the verses in the Bible that say, follow me. Some of you might know where those are already. The one verse that comes to my mind, if you want to find it, is follow me as I follow Christ. That's Paul, right? It's a good time for a sword drill. But get these ready. And then also I want to look at Matthew 25, and that's 14 through 20. And I'll go there. That's part where we're going to read quite a little bit about. Matthew 25. But I want to talk about expectations. I had a son, Caleb. And Caleb, what a good kid. He's very soft-hearted. If you spend any time with him, he's like his mom, so he's really good. But you know what he did? When he was born, I promise, I would tell this kid, don't do that. And we're talking about 1-2 years old. Don't do that. Don't. And he would turn and look at me like, and then he would go do what I said not to do. And so me as a dad, I would say, that's not good. And I'd spank his little diaper, right? And he would cry. And then the next time something would happen, I'd say, don't do that. And he would go. And then he would do it. I'm like, oh boy, kid's got brain damage, right? He would keep doing it. And I would keep doing the dad thing. Light him up. Yes.
It's called the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning.
Exactly. And that's what I did. And guess what? And so now I want you guys to know something. So several years later, he goes to the doctor. And they said, hey, this kid's had some severe ear infections. He can't hear very good at all. Now think about this dad who applied to Board of Education to this good kid who may, you know, I'm going to say you heard me, okay? That's what I'm saying. I'm clear. Clear, not guilty. I said, I'll put those in your spank account. Everybody needs one. So listen, I'm saying it's wrong to have expectations, or it's wrong to be corrected if you don't know what the expectations are, right? Wouldn't it be wrong? Wouldn't it be terrible if I'm just walking around and God went, that's not what, I mean, right? That wouldn't that be kind of unfair, right? God is not like that. God does tell us his expectations, and he tells us what he wants from us as his people. We're talking about being biblical friends. I was talking to Brother Dan this morning. I said, you know, in school, I had a fourth grade teacher, and her name was Mrs. Roll. Mrs. Roll was 62. She was ready to retire that year, and she was probably the hardest teacher in that whole school. And what I mean by that is, she was rough. Like, I recall a kid asking to go to the bathroom, and she said no, and they went to the bathroom. But anyway, she was hard. She gave us a test every single day on our multiplication tables. Every day we did a 3-minute test. You had so many problems. If you didn't get them done, you didn't get recess. I mean, we were like, and we people didn't like her. But guess what? I know my multiplication tables. And I know I'm good. I know I'm really good. I thank Mrs. Roll. You know what? She kept doing it over and over and over. And I learned it. I know them. And you know what? If you don't know your multiplication tables, when you come up into any kind of higher math, guess what happens? Right? You can't do it. You can't do algebra and all these other things if you don't have your multiplication tables down. Right? Sometimes in our Christian life, we can get to areas, we're grown up, we got a lot of years in the church, but you know what? There may be some areas where we missed a little bit. We didn't get a basic. We're talking about something very basic. I'm a basic person. I am. I'm very basic. People call me base. Basic. And so I'm going to talk this morning about something we should all have. We should get it. Okay? The two greatest commandments in the Bible are to love God and to love people. You've heard me say that, right? And you've especially heard me, I hope, say you're supposed to love me. There's no one in here. You better not say you don't love me because you're going against God. I'm telling you right now. I'm giving you listen, so loving people is, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we should do it. It's fulfilling the law when we love others. Okay? It's fulfilling the law. There is no one in here who can say, I do not have that ability. Do you hear me? Don't say you don't have that ability to love me. You better have, listen, the Bible says we've all been given a gift, correct? As a matter of fact, you could read that in 1 Peter 4:10. Somebody find 1 Peter 4:10 and read that for me out loud, please. As soon as you get it, you can go ahead and start reading. 1 Peter 4:10.
Each one has received a special gift. Employ it in the serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Who's received a gift?
Each one.
Each one. Does that, so who's eliminated? Who's out of that? Who's out of that verse? Who's let out? Not me. That's not who. No one. So who has a gift? That's right. I do too, right. We all do. We all have a gift. And we're meant to use it. Okay, I want us to be imitators of God. I think he's our greatest example. He tells the expectations he has of us, but he's also our example. And so we're going to look at three examples from him. If you got 1 John 4:9, somebody who had that, just go ahead and start reading. Don't be afraid. Jump in front of somebody.
In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
I like that word manifest. I really do. It was manifest to them. It was shown, right? It was produced in front of you. Here it is, right? We all know the story about God sending his Son Jesus to the world as a baby, right? It was manifest to us. It's there. He's shown us this. He gave. The very first thing God did is he gave. Okay, he was in while that we were even yet sinners, right? He loved us. It was all he's done. Okay. So it was made manifest. Romans 5:8. And then Romans 5:5 after that, but Romans 5:8, somebody there?
But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, I went ahead and got that one, sorry. Demonstrated. You get it? It was demonstrated. It was shown out. If you demonstrate something, are you hiding it? Let me demonstrate how to do this. No. You ever seen some of those YouTube videos on some of that stuff? I mean, you can't even follow it, right? You've seen it, right? This guy, I'm sorry about my video. Yeah, well, me too. Listen, if you're demonstrating something, you're putting it out where it can be seen. It's being done, okay? So it's demonstrated. It's manifested. It's demonstrated. And then look at 5:5. Romans 5:5. Somebody read that. Go ahead, jump in front of somebody. I don't care.
And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
You know what I like about this? These are all things that I can grab onto. Do you know that God pours into us? Isn't that a great word picture? That we're being poured into. Isn't that good? It's an action, right? Pouring is an action, right? Manifesting, demonstrating. These are all actions. You have a gift, and you can do it. You can do it. We need to imitate God. That's the first one. We need to imitate him. Imitate God. That's our job. That's an expectation. God has that expectation of us. Does anyone know the Bible says, be holy as I am holy? Do you know that it says that? Okay, it's not a secret, right? Nobody in here is going to go, I never heard that before. I look around. We're older Christian people. Sorry, but I didn't hurt nobody's feelings. Well, okay, not all of us, okay? But listen, this is simple stuff. Be holy as I am holy. That's what it says.
Here, ain't simple.
Right. But we're going to work on that. Okay. The next thing, I want to tell you this. I went to Boonesboro this last week. My aunt died. And she was a Christian, so there was no sting in death. She was 60. That's rough, and she left family. But you know what? She was a Christian. But I went to Fort Boonesboro while I was down there, right where Daniel Boone stood. I was there, right there in that place where Daniel Boone was. And we were walking through there, and they had some wax figures. You ever seen wax figures? I'll tell you what, man. It wouldn't do to have one of those standing in my house somewhere. That looks like, those are like real-looking people. I'm expecting them to start blinking, you know, or moving or doing something, twitching their leg. I don't know. I think these are those kind of, you know, the ones that do the modeling out. That's what I'm kind of thinking. But they're there, right? Well, And I want you to think about that wax figure deal. They look so real. We read the story in the Bible about when Jesus was with his disciples. When Jesus was with his disciples and he saw a fig tree, you know? Now we're talking about the Son of God, the Creator, saw a fig tree, and he went to that fig tree with leaves, and he said, He went there for some nourishment. Okay? God, Creator, He knows what?
Everything.
That's right. Goes to that tree, there's no fruit. He said, man, does anybody in here think Jesus was shocked? I just want to know. Did he have one of those, oh man, minutes, you know? I didn't see that coming. No. He knew it. He knew it, and he still said, no one's ever going to eat off you again. Now, remember when we talk about expectations? We have expectations of us. Would it be unfair to have expectations that weren't possible? What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of unrealistic.
It is wrong to have expectations that are not possible. Totally wrong. Fig trees. I had to do some studying because that's the way I am about that. I had to look about fig trees. Fig trees in certain, over there in that area, can produce twice a year. And so April would have been one of the times that they could have had. They're called breba. Breba figs are figs that come earlier than the later figs. And he was looking for nourishment. And this is a full tree. And if you look, they even got some really cool pictures. When the leaves are coming out, the fruit is starting at the same time. Okay? So when he saw a tree that showed itself to have leaves, the expectation was it should have fruit. Okay, very good. So that's God's expectation. I want to let you guys know something this morning. No secret. God's expectation of us is that we bear fruit. We bear fruit. The wax figure I was talking about can bear no fruit. Can't bear fruit. Just stands there all the time. All the time. I want to tell you a couple stories. I went to a very high class restaurant. It's everybody, like people from all over the world know it. I've been there when people from France came in. This is a really high quality restaurant. It's called Tellway. You been there? Oh.
Tellway Burgers.
Well, yeah, but still. It's located 11 Mile and John R. And I want to tell you something about that, okay? I went in there and I was purchasing some fine cuisine. I think I was ordering about 20 burgers for my family and some fries and stuff. And while I was in there, this guy came in with his little kids. They were like, you know, like stair steps. And he goes, hey, come here, Caleb. He says, come here, Isaac. Come here, John. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. Must be a Muslim. Listen, I said, this guy must be a Christian. That's in my mind, right? Or something. He knows something about the Bible. That's what I'm thinking. So listen, I started talking to this guy. Me, can you believe that? I started talking to someone. I mean, somebody I didn't even know. I had never met them before.
Nor have you ever met a stranger.
But listen, I started talking to him. And you know what? Turned out he only lived about a block or two away from me. Turned out this was one of the just best Christian families that you could ever want to be around. We ended up doing some work together. We ended up, his kids and my kids playing together a lot. And you know what? They ended up where they even started coming to the church I go to. Jed and Val. Even here this morning. So, I mean, this is a real live example, okay? Go ahead.
I think it was the name Job.
Yeah, Job pushed me over the top. It did. He is right. As soon as I heard somebody who called their kid Job, I had to go talk to him. But this is real life, okay? we're talking this morning, what I'm talking to you about is right where the rubber meets the road. You know where that is?
Yep.
Right there. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about where rubber meets the road. We're talking about real. I struggle to teach anything heady. You know why? Okay, you know. I struggle to teach it. But listen, I really enjoy something that I can bite into, that I can hold on to, and I can say, this is, okay, I know this, you know? I know this I can do. I know this, I can do this. This is what God wants for me. Okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, so we want to imitate God in how we pour ourselves out. We want to imitate God in how we demonstrate to other people. We want to imitate how we're the first ones. Listen, we're the first ones. You know what's super, I know you do. Do you know what's super kind of a intense kind of feeling? You ever get on an elevator and there's other, you know, and there's other people in there, like only one or two, and you get in, you're like... You ever had that feeling? You know the feeling I'm talking about? Right? That's an intense feeling. I think about, do you ever think about how Jesus might have got on an elevator with people, you know? You ever think he was like, no, I don't think he was like that. I think he would have talked to him. There was a song a long time ago, what if I, you know, yelled Jesus out loud or something? If you heard it, anyway, you would have laughed. Anyway, okay. What if I yelled Jesus out loud? Anyway, I don't think he did that. I think we need, listen, I think there's some uncomfortable things for us as Christians. Jeremy, there's some uncomfortable things. But uncomfortable things aren't wrong.
That's right.
Do you know the first time I tried to kiss my wife, that was uncomfortable?
For her.
Ooh, there's an apple of gold fitting right there. That's right. Listen. I got her glasses on. Don't talk like that.
Must
not have been that uncomfortable. No. God, nine. Anyway. All right. Hey, listen. There's some uncomfortable things. I want to encourage this class. I want to encourage everyone who has ears.
To hear.
Yeah, to do. I want to encourage everyone who has ears this morning to do uncomfortable things. There's a lot of things that are right, but they're uncomfortable. And we don't do them. And when I said we, look, I'm not French. I meant me. Okay? I meant me too. There's times I don't... Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you something on me. Okay? And I've asked God to forgive me of this. I went to a restaurant, a Burger King. Fancy, another fine food place. Not as good as Tellway. I went to this fine food place on 16 Mile in Rochester. And I was getting my food, and there was a guy... A little bit smaller man in front of me getting his food. And he was getting his food, and they just gave him his food, and he came to me and he goes, where are you sitting? I'll sit with you.
Cool.
Wait a minute. Don't do that. He's pouring salt on me. You see that? And I said, you know, I'm getting mine to go, so I'm gonna just, but you know what I was feeling in me? He goes, I always like to sit with somebody when I eat. And I'm like, well, I got to go. Now, I'm telling you about me, okay? So don't judge me. Too bad. I'm telling you, I left. I didn't sit down with them. But you know, do you know how many times I've thought about that, though? Right? Do you know how many times I'm going to remember that now? Yes. I mean, what would it have hurt? To say, you know what, I don't know who you are. So, how's everything? Good? Do you always come to this Burger King? I mean, and what would it have cost me? 20 minutes? I blew it. I could have said, hey, I'm sorry, let me pray with you, right? If he was struggling about something, just don't, let me tell you, don't just go grab people and say, I'll pray for you. Don't do that. Talk to them first. But listen, I could have done something, right? I could have done something. I missed opportunity.
Right.
Let me tell you what, I don't go everywhere you go. I'm not everywhere you are, but I'm going to guarantee you this. You have opportunity. You have opportunity.
Every day.
So that's where we're talking about the initiate. Initiating. You know, Jesus was the initiator almost all the time. He was the initiator. He went to the woman at the well, right? He's the one who talked to her first. Hey, that's not against the rules, man's rules. But he talked to her, didn't he? Jesus is the one who initiated. Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus didn't say nothing to him. He's hiding in a tree. Come down. Right? Listen, do you think God's expectation is for you to hide?
Don't put your light under a bushel.
That's another verse we were talking about too. What's he say about a city on a
hill?
It can't be
hidden.
Christians,
do we hide?
Do we hide what we have?
Some people hide behind church.
I didn't hear what she said.
She said some people hide behind church, or maybe she means in church.
Right.
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, are you ready?
Can you announce?
Is it the time?
Can you announce what's going on?
Yeah. It's time, right? Okay. He has he has something that God's dealt with him. You know, it's really cool. He called me this week, and he's thinking about our class just like me. That helps me. But he's got something to read here, one page. And
Hannah, what did you just say?
Some people hide behind church.
Say it real loud.
Some people hide behind church.
Okay. This was just a page, not to interrupt Steve's lesson here. I'll get on this and get off it. But this was just a page I read from a book called Forgotten God by Francis Chan. Has anybody heard of Francis Chan? So I got a hold of Steve, and I'm like, Steve, what are you teaching on tomorrow? Because it's like, I got something here that might really pertain to your biblical friendship and being in the church, and you just hit the nail on the head.
Woo!
Okay? About hiding in church. So I want to read for you just a page here that pertains to this, and we'll cut it back over to Steve. But the little header of this section is called We Were Family. Okay? So here's Francis Chan. He says, a while back, a former gang member came to our church. Gang member. He was heavily tattooed and rough around the edges, but he was curious to see what church was like. He had a relationship with Jesus and seemed to get fairly involved with the church. After a few months, I found out the guy was no longer coming to the church. When I asked why he didn't come anymore, he gave the following explanation. Quote, I had the wrong idea of what church was going to be like. When I joined the church, I thought it was going to be like joining a gang. You see, in the gangs, we weren't just nice to each other once a week. We were family.
Wow.
Unquote. And Francis Chan says, that killed me because I knew that what he expected is what the church is intended to be. It saddened me to think that a gang could paint a better picture of commitment, loyalty, and family than the local church body. The church is intended to be a beautiful place of community, a place where wealth is shared, and when one suffers, everyone suffers. A place where when one rejoices, everyone rejoices. A place where everyone experiences real love and acceptance in the midst of great honesty about our brokenness. Yet most of the time, this is not even close to how we would describe our churches. Without the Spirit of God in our midst, working in us, guiding us, and living and loving through us, we will never be the kind of people who make up this kind of community. There is no such thing as a real believer who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, or a real church without the Spirit. It's just not possible. But what is possible is that we would individually and corporately quench and hinder the Spirit's activity in and through our lives. As for me, I am tired of talking about what we are going to do. I'm sick of talking about helping people, of brainstorming and conferencing about ways we can be radical and make sacrifices. I don't want to merely talk anymore. Life is too short. I don't want to speak about Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to be Jesus to people. I don't just want to write about the Holy Spirit. I want to experience His presence in my life in a profound way.
Amen.
That's a good fit.
It's great. It is perfect. Listen, he's talking about being a Christian how many hours a day?
24.
Do you know what I think is one of the greatest compliments? And I think that Mike was there when this guy said it. He said he saw his dad at work. He saw his dad at home. He saw his dad at church. And you know what he saw? The same man. Think about that for a minute. The same guy. Jed. Listen, I've been around Jed. We worked at a camp together for a whole week. And he's seen me for a whole week. Tired. Dirty. Right? And we work on being the same. Right? Listen, being the same, I'm going to tell you this. If you see me out somewhere, I'm a little intense on the ball field. I know you can't believe it. But
that's true.
He's played. I'm intense out there, but I'm going to be the same. When I go to somebody's house to work, I'm the same person. I'm the same person I am with my wife and kids. The same person I am when I'm with my pastor, although it's a little bit like that. You know?
You're a man.
I'm trying not to. But listen, when somebody knows they know a lot and I'm not telling them nothing new, I'm like, yeah, okay. Listen, I love them. I really do. I know you do. I wish I could say I was in second place, but anyway. And the more I know them, the more I love them. And that's probably true for Miss Kathy, okay. You know why? He's been working at it, and that's good, and we should too. This story of the talents, I told you all of us have a talent. The last guy hit his talent. I want to ask you a question. Did that man know he had a talent that he was given? Did he know it? Are you sure? Is there anyone in here who says, that guy might not have known he had a talent? Anybody going to stand up on his behalf and say, anybody going to do that? No. You know why? He had a talent. I'm going to tell you this. He hid the talent. God has expectations of us. God has expectations of us. We need to live up to his expectations. You need to do some uncomfortable things. You need to initiate. When a guy comes up to an little old man and says, hey, can I sit with you and eat? I hope you say yes. Don't do what I did. I hope you invest. Listen, I hope you invest. You know, we talked two weeks ago about being an ambassador and we get our money from our home country. I hope you don't feel bad about giving your money or using your money for God's stuff.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Don't feel bad about that. I'd rather get the return on the other side.
Amen.
I'm storing some treasure somewhere else, you know? Right? What's the Bible say? We're moth and whatever can't get to it. Right? And listen, if you don't invest your money for God, I'm going to guarantee you right now, listen to me, because I'm telling you something true. If you don't invest your money with God, there's going to be other stuff that get it.
That's right.
Wait a minute. There's going to be other stuff that gets that money. Do you hear me? That flat tire, your ball joint flies out or whatever, right? I'm trying to help you.
That's right.
You know we said the best friend is a friend that makes you a better friend with God? That's the best friend. I right now am the best friend you have. I'm trying to make you a better friend with God. That's right. And now listen. So initiate, invest, and then listen. Enjoy. You know, we talk about the fig tree was a big one. Well, the Bible talks in Micah about people dwelling safely and sitting under their fig tree and their vine. Do you know this last week I've had just like the greatest time sitting outside in an old-fashioned lawn chair, not those new nice ones, in the old-fashioned ones, and drinking cold water and talking to people in safety. Isn't that great? I mean, I don't need all the great big stuff, you know? All right, so here's my challenge to you, Christians. You know who you are. You might be trying to hide it, but don't be a wax figure. Okay. Don't be that person who puts plastic over their furniture and won't let anyone into that room. You guys are with me? Right? Remember that? They put plastic over the room, and then and it's a beautiful room, but they won't let you in. Oh, you can't come in here. This is for company. Right? Are you guys with me? You guys, right? You're catching with me? Take the plastic off. You hear what I'm telling you? Pull the plastic. Come on in. I know a lady, right now they have a beautiful home, Christian lady. You know, she will not have anyone to her house. Her house is immaculate. Immaculate, I mean, there's not a cobweb. If there is, man, that cobweb's in trouble, let me tell you. This lady is on it. Her house is beautiful, but you know what? She won't allow anyone into her home. And you know, she won't go to anybody else's house. She doesn't think it's nice enough. She don't... I want to say this. If you guys come to my house, there's going to be some cobwebs because I'm not killing them. You guys okay? Anyway, my wife will want to kill them, and she'll want me to kill them, but anyway. Listen, tear the plastic off. Don't have your stuff all plastic it up. I don't know. Is that a word?
How can she profess to be a Christian if she doesn't allow people in her home and she doesn't go anywhere?
That's good.
I mean, you can spend time with God, but if you don't share Him, how can you say I'm a Christian?
Do you hear what she's saying?
Party at the Gettler's.
All right, says, let's go.
Not over.
But listen, do you know what she just said, though? How can we call ourselves a Christian if we don't share, if we don't, if we're not open like that? She's right. If listen, if you are not a person, if you're not a person who's initiating, if you're not a person who's imitating, you're a wax figure. Do you hear me? You're a tree with leaves and no fruit. Go ahead.
Just to stick up for the lady you're talking about,
yeah.
Maybe she meets people at Starbucks or outside her home, because some people do have OCD things, and that's fine. That's like I made them.
Right. I and I'm going to go with you.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Except I know her.
Oh.
But I would go with you. I would. Let's give a benefit of the doubt that somebody, listen, there are mental problems, and if you guys don't see any examples, you're not looking, okay? If you don't see any examples, you are not looking. I want you to take the covers off. Imagine a beautiful... One more last example. Imagine a beautiful kitchen, ladies. Stainless. Guys, too. I like a nice kitchen, but this especially should pertain to them. Imagine all the stainless appliances, wait a minute, stay with me. All the iron, the cast iron, every kind of thing. All the stocked cupboards with all those really fancy spices like she knows about. Everywhere filled all the way up. And the fridge is filled, right? Imagine with me all that, right? It's beautifully lit, it's large, and it never gets used.
Don't have to clean it?
Oh, no. She's looking on the bright side. I like that. Listen, I want her with me in an emergency. In a disaster, I want to be sitting by her. Well, at least we're not dead. Anyway, okay. Okay, but imagine, okay? Imagine that beautiful and not being used. How terrible would that be, right? What a shame. A shame. There's some of you in here who need to get cooking. You got a beautiful kitchen.
Okay.
Hey, got it. Hold them. Listen, do you hear me? Listen, there's some of you. I heard this guy say this a long time ago. There's very few Christians that need to be. Dave, settle down. There's very few Christians that need to be. Hey. Very few. But there's a whole lot of Christians that need. This isn't going to go on the tape. you hear me? Okay. More than that, do you hear God? Do you hear God?
Amen.
Nothing lasting is going to happen from me, but if you go out and you reach out to somebody, you initiate something, that's got lasting benefits for God's glory. Do you know what I have right now? I got some lasting benefits for God's glory sitting right there. Because of fine dining. Listen, you know, Brother Keith, when I first came here, he took my whole family and fed us. That was a treat. And that was a big deal, because I got a big family. But he did. I remember that. That was a great, wonderful, appreciated investment. Thank you. Another family here. Listen, the first week we came, I got all my boys. We all sat down. We enjoyed the service. And we go, we really like that. We told the people in front of us. And she said, it's Sue and Dave Kraft. And so we said, yeah, we really liked it. And they go, are you guys going to come back? I said, this is what I said to her, okay, because if you know me, I would say this. Well, if you save us a seat, you know, and there's, you know how big the place is out there, right? Like, there's going to be a problem saving a seat. But that's what I said. Well, guess what? We were able to come back the next week, right? And we came to that same section to sit. Listen, she printed up papers with the Connor family, Connor, and put it down a whole row. Guess where I sat? Right there. Listen, that was an investment.
Amen.
That was something initiated. But you know what it meant to me? Right? A lot. Okay, one more story. story about a little kid sitting on the side of a road, wishing. You know, he had nothing. He had a very poor family. He didn't have anything, but he knew he could see across. He's seen these kids who had the big yards and slides and swings, and he's seen all that, right? And he's sitting here on a curb, and he's going, I wish I had. That'd be, man, I wish I could have, you know, something like that. While he's saying it, unbelievably, this big black limousine pulled up. And a guy gets out named Jeeves. I don't know if that was his name. But he got out. And he walked over to the little boy and he says, hey, is your name John Henry? And he said, yeah, that's my name. He says, your mom live here? He said, yeah. He said, well, come on. Come on and get in this vehicle. Get your mom. He said, and the guy said, this is your car. He said, no way. He's like freaking out. No way. And then the mom comes out and he says, yes, ma'am, I'm here. And his uncle said, he's given this to your family. He's just passed away and you're in the will. And come on, they got in the limo. And they drove this limo. And they pulled up in front of this Beverly Hillbillies Clampett mansion. That's the best way. That's a quick way to describe it. Big gates.
Cement pine.
Right. A big house. Listen, a big house. And guess what? They had a playground over on the side. And this kid's standing there, and he can't believe it. He can't believe it. And the guy said, this is all mine? Yep. It's all yours. For the rest of your life, this is all yours. How great. Right? Do you know, I listened to that story and I thought about feeling like that little boy about wanting, you know, that kind of stuff, right? And guess what the guy telling the story did? He turned it right on me. You know what he said? He said, you can be a rich uncle to someone else. I'm like, come on, I liked it better when somebody was being a rich uncle to me. You have the ability to be a rich uncle to someone. Do you know what the Crafts were to me and my family? A rich uncle. They were. Do you know every one of us in this room, we have something to give to someone else that they can't get anywhere else? Whether it's a good word. Okay? Listen, I live for... Don't judge me. I lived for a long time on this lady at our church, an elderly Christian lady. She came up behind me when I was up in front of the church, and she went, "Brother Steve," and she felt the back of my arm. She goes, "My," and I didn't know she knew what triceps were. She goes, "Your triceps are so hard and big." And I'm like, "Well, thank you." "Did you really?" She gave, listen, just a kind word. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question because I want to know. Does any of this make sense? Am I talking too low, too high? Okay, somebody let me know, because I'm looking at you guys, you're all like...
Makes perfect sense.
Okay. All right, that's what I... Well, listen, I'm one of those guys, if I think I'm skidding off the road, I might be gone, you know? I don't know. All right, look, I love you. We're going to pray and go. I know everybody's got to go. Anything else, Mike, we need?
No, we're good. Bye, Brad.
Okay. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters. I pray as we go out of this room today that we'll go in a rush, God, to find someone to initiate with. That we will live to your expectations. That, God, we will imitate you in the way we pour ourselves out, in the way we demonstrate to others the Christian life, God. Thank you, God, for any opportunity to... speak your words to people.
Yes.
I pray, God, it makes a difference. That is the greatest joy, that God, to be a tool that's used and gets the job done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you. I beat you to it. Don't be second to say I love you.